go ahead and go. And we'll get this. All right. So I'm going to call to order the February 6th, 2019 meeting of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Saperstein?
Here.
Dr. Legatuda?
Here.
Mr. Dressler?
Here.
Mr. Peters?
Here.
And Chair Cox?
Here. Here. First item of business is the election of chair and vice chair for 2019. So may I please get the minutes. Is there any discussion?
I was saying in the years past, if we had very few meetings, we would keep the same team or we can rotate it. And I think my personal opinion is that I would say to only keep it because we really didn't do a lot of meetings. And after another year, even if it's bad, or not bad, but actually good if we don't get a lot of meetings, then we can switch it. But I don't know, how do you feel about that? Anybody else?
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I'm vice chair now. If I'd be chair if you guys wanted me to. If you are happy where you are, that's fine for me too.
I have no desire to be in any particular chair up here, whether it's on the far left or in the middle, so it doesn't matter to me.
Can I make a motion to nominate my colleague here, Terrence Dressler, as chairman?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Do I hear any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstained? Okay. And that moves us to the next.
Okay, and I'll nominate Francis Peters to be the vice chair.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstained, opposed? Great, thank you.
Thank you, Lee, for that great service.
I'm busy here. Nice job.
Wait, congratulations, good luck as you run your time.
So Sarah, explain the buttons to me. The yellow is... That's on. Oh, that's the podium. I get it.
Is it too late to withdraw the nomination?
Okay, the next thing on the agenda is to approve the minutes. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the August 1st, 2018 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. The next item is request for continuance for addition or ex-agenda items. Do we have any requests for continuance or addition of ex-agenda items? Hearing none. We will go on to the next item, which is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or reports from staff?
Yes. Hello, Terry Dressler and members of the hearing board. My name is Caitlin McNally. I'm the manager of the compliance division at the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District. And I just wanted to share something that I think many of you may already know, but we've had some staff changes at the district. What I'd like to share here is with the district staff member who is in charge of our variance program at the district. And so we had Mike McKay for many years handling that program, and he did a great job, and we appreciate all of his efforts in the program. He recently switched from the compliance division at the APCD to the planning division, so he's no longer in that role. And I wanted to share, some of you have already interacted with the new staff member in that role, and that's Amy Long, who's here. And we're happy to have her handling this program now. And just wanted to share that and pass the baton to Amy, and excited to have her present the cases today, or represent the district for the cases today.
Any other announcements? Reports? I'll get the hang of this. Okay. If not, we'll move on to the next item, which is public comment. Now is the time for public comment for any item that's not on the agenda. Are there any speaker slips, Sarah?
No, I have no speaker slips.
Is there any public comment for items that are not on the agenda? Any comment from members of the hearing board? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item. This is discussion items. Will the clerk please read discussion items from the room?
All right, item G1. This is new rule 3.5 of California Rules of Professional Conduct for Lawyers. Consider recommendations as follows. A, adopt a resolution that will govern communications with members of the hearing board pursuant to new rule 3.5 of California's Rules of Professional Conduct for Lawyers, which became effective on November 1st, 2018. That first, the legal advisor to the hearing board may continue to provide confidential attorney-client legal advice on the merits of adjudicative matters to members of the hearing board. Second, all lawyers may continue to communicate with members of the hearing board on the merits of adjudicative matters, that and those communications will be subject to ex parte disclosure by the member. Third, any gifts from lawyers to members of the hearing board shall be regulated by the Political Reform Act, Government Code, Section 81000, etc. And B, find that the proposed actions are not a project under California Environmental Quality Act guidelines, Section 15378B5, in that they are organizational or administrative activities for the government that will not result in the direct or indirect physical changes to the environment.
All right, Zuber.
Yes, good morning. As you just heard, this item is involving the rules of professional conduct that applies to lawyers.
Turn your microphone off.
It is. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Okay. It's on.
Okay. The rules of professional conduct that applies to lawyers was amended in the fall. And this item came to the attention of the Board of Supervisors that they had a concern of whether or not there was going to be a problem with advising the board by our office. And because the rule was expanded, it's always been the rule for a long time that you cannot have ex parte communications with judges. If you had a case being litigated, you can't have one party go in a back room and try to work out some deal with the judge. You had to have both parties involved, or it was an open court hearing. Well, they amended the definition of a judge to include members of administrative bodies like yourself. And with that amendment, it said that you cannot have ex-party communications with attorneys unless there is a rule or a code section that would permit it. And so as to be cautious, since it's a new rule, Board of Supervisors took the step to adopt a rule that's similar to what we're asking your board to approve, which would recognize that county council is your legal advisor and that you're able to have ex parte communications with county council and your and any other legal advisor that you have without violating the rule of professional conduct. That's the purpose of it. And it says in the rule that a body could adopt the golden rule to clarify, you know, such communications as we're talking about here. It also leaves with the definition of adjudicative of a judge being expanded to administrative board like yourself, a situation where other attorneys may contact members of your board, and it could be perceived as a violation of this rule. And so this says that that is permitted, or we're proposing is that you adopt a rule that would permit and allow the continued ex parte communication of lawyers with members of your board, with the understanding that those would be disclosed. If you had an ex parte communication with someone, you would be responsible for disclosing it. And then the third element of the proposed rule would be that all gifts to the to a board member would be covered by the Fair Political Performance, FPPC, requirement for gifts and the limitations on gifts and the disclosures. And so it's just clarifying that any gifts would be covered by those rules. And then the fourth thing is just to say that this is under CEQA, it's not a project. And with that, we're just recommending that you adopt the attached resolution, which would formalize this in a rule. Any questions?
Frank.
Mr. Chair, County Council, when I read this prior to today's meeting and I saw the legal advisor to the hearing board, I thought it was my colleague, Mr. Saperstein, that they were referencing. But you're drawing a distinction from that.
Right. Yes, it's the advisor to the board itself.
Other questions?
No one, Mr. Chair. So I admit I do have other friends who are lawyers. And so I guess the question is, how does this apply to other lawyers who are not adjudicating in front of here? So, I mean, let's say I'm at an event, and not something that's coming up, but, you know, they ask me, hey, so how are some of the great things you're doing? And can I discuss things that we've done in the past with them at a Christmas party or something?
Yes, it's just with regards to matters that are before your board. So if you have an item on your agenda currently, or you know that's pending in some fashion, then those friends that are coming up to you that might be on the other side on that agenda item cannot come up to you and talk freely to you without that being disclosed that there was an ex parte communication that. And what was discussed. But as far as, you know, other friends or acquaintances that you might have that aren't connected to the hearing board affairs, it's not covered. There's no restriction there.
Okay, so lawyers are not related to this board. There's no issues then?
Right.
No issues because we exchange Christmas gifts and no issues on that?
Right.
Okay.
And the key is after the fact, after we review an item, we're free to talk about it to anyone.
Right, after it's been, fully adjudicated and over. That's not the issue.
Other questions?
Are you saying you've been getting gifts? I think I want to explain.
Yes.
Gifts are we talking about? Yeah. You like a friend or what? No questions.
Other questions?
I just want to make sure I'm clear about subsection A versus B. Sometimes we have another representative of the county council's office that represents the district on a contested matter. If there were communication with that lawyer from county council's office, that would be subject to the ex parte disclosure. Say different. You represent, maybe a different lawyer, but you currently serve as counsel to this board.
Right.
There are other lawyers that are counsel to the district. I thought we needed to be careful about those communications if there's a contested matter.
Yeah, potentially there would be. Attorneys in our office might be representing another board or commission that could be adversarial or just in a different role. And so yes, they wouldn't be then your legal advisor on that matter. So it would depend on the circumstances. But there may be other attorneys in our office that would still be fill the slot as giving you legal advice that might allow for a ex-party communications or confidential attorney-client communication.
And with the normal setting where we may have confidential communications with you as the warrants lawyer, that would typically happen in a closed session as opposed to individual communication.
Yes, but it could be individual, though, too.
And that individual communication, would that be subject to the sex partic disclosure that the conversation occurred?
No, that would be something that would be different. We would be able to have communication with individually with board members between you and I or other members. That would be covered under the first exception or rule.
And I have one question. Does any of this apply to communications with petitioners before the hearing board?
Well, yes.
That are not lawyers?
Oh, no. No, that are not lawyers. But as a board member, if you had an ex parte communication, the practice would be that you would disclose that anyway. And so I think it would already, I think that we're probably already in compliance with this concept that we're formalizing today, but that would be an example that you probably already in the past would have done that, just making a disclosure that the party came and had a discussion with me or whatever. That would be something that would be disclosed. This would formalize that.
Okay.
Just one last question. So you can sum up, because we're talking about this, when would we most likely violate this, just so we know what to avoid?
I think that it would be a petitioner that's an attorney that comes to you outside of this meeting. So, if it's at the meeting, it's an open session, that's not an issue. But if it's someone that came and caught you on the street and said, hey, this is coming to you and I hope you go my way, or whatever it is. The idea is that that has to be disclosed if it were to occur.
Any other questions?
There's another layer to this, and I can't remember if we ever do any training on Brown Act for this board. And there's another layer of ex parte limitations on factions deliberating with one another, ex parte communications, and if we don't do training, I can't remember if we've ever done it for this board. If we don't, it's probably a useful thing for this board.
It's included in the AB 1234 training.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Do we have any speaker slips there?
No.
Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, I'll close public comment on this item. Do we have a motion with regard to this item?
I move the adoption of the resolution of the hearing board, Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District. That's a part of our package.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Do you need separately the CEQA findings or just the motion for the resolution?
The motion that's just fine for the resolution.
Can I, Mr. Chair, could I add to the motion? So look at the minutes and our agenda here. It has all of our names, the clerk of the board, but Jerry's not identified on the minutes or the agenda or belt and suspenders. Could county council be named on our minutes?
County council is usually included on items that we hear. So the individual items, historically, the representative of the county council has never been listed on the side legend under the hearing board and the clerk of the ABCD board. It's something that we could add. That's not.
Would you consider amending your motion?
I guess the discussion on that is, what's the standard practice for the county Santa Barbara for other hearing boards?
I don't think this is really connected to this resolution. And if we want to have a separate discussion regarding this an administrative matter as to who's listed on our minutes, we can do that separately. So I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Well, did he withdraw his motion, or is that still on there?
I'll defer discussion of that. Yeah, I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. All right. Call the roll, please, Sarah.
Mr. Saperstein?
Aye.
Dr. Lagatuda?
Aye.
Mr. Dressler?
Aye.
Mr. Peters?
Aye.
And Mr. Cox?
Aye. All right. Next item. There are six cases today. Will the clerk please read the first case into the record?
Item H1 is case number 2018-09-A. This is to consider a petition by the control officer of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District on July 10th, 2018 for issuance of an order of abatement pursuant to Health and Safety Code Section 42450 due to continued storage of petroleum product in two emergency pits of the Los Flores lease in violation of conditions of permit to operate 07307-R10 and District Rule 344. On August 1st, 2018, this case was continued to September 5th, 2018, and then subsequently withdrawn on August 8th, 2018, and further continued pursuant to District Rule 514.
All right, witnesses in this case shall now be sworn in. After taking the oath, will you please come forward to the podium and state your name and affiliation with the case? If you will be testifying today, please stand and raise your right hand. And this is just with regard to this item. Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So please, one by one, come up and state your name and your affiliation.
Caitlin McNally, the Air District.
Erin Garland Janae with the Air District.
Sage Swain with the Air District.
Good morning, Jenna Richardson, Chief County Council, representing the Air District.
All right. At this time, we'll ask the district to make their case. Please again state your name for the record.
Good morning, Chair Dressler and members of the hearing board. My name is Erin Arlen Janae, and I am the Air Pollution Control Officer for the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District. We are here today to request that you approve the withdrawal of the petition for the order of abatement for HVI Cat Canyon, formerly known as Greca Oil and Gas Incorporated. This was a significant effort, and we are pleased that compliance has been achieved for the Los Flores emergency pits. I'd like to thank all of you for your time and dedication in reviewing the large abatement petition packet. It seems when I'm here before you, I'm thanking you for your time in reviewing, at the same time requesting a withdrawal. It seems to be the recent track record, which we're actually very proud of. In addition, I'd also like to recognize our staff, Sage Swan, for his work putting together the abatement order packet and the dedicated effort throughout the long two-year process for this violation. I'll now turn it over to district staff to discuss the details of this item.
Thank you, Erin. My name is Caitlin McNally. I'm the Compliance Division Manager at the Air District. So on July 10th, 2018, the district submitted a petition for issuance of an order of abatement pursuant to Health and Safety Code Section 42450 due to continued storage of petroleum product in two emergency pits at the Los Flores lease in violation of conditions of their permit to operate 7307R10 and our District Rule 344. At that time, Greca had stored, or I'm calling HVI Cat Canyon, had stored petroleum product in their emergency pits at their Los Flores lease in violation of district permit and district rule for more than 2 years. As specified in District Rule 344, these emergency pits are only allowed to store petroleum product for less than 30 days per year. Over the two-year window that Greca was in violation, the district attempted to work with Greca who resolved the violation, but we were unable to secure compliance. Therefore, we submitted the petition for abatement order, and it was scheduled to be heard by your hearing board on August 1st, 2018. On the morning of August 1st, 2018, no GRECO representatives attended the hearing board meeting, so we requested a continuance for this item, which your hearing board approved. And then in the afternoon of August 1st, 2018, GRECO notified the district that all liquids and solids had been removed from the two emergency pits at the Las Flores lease and requested that we inspect them to confirm that. So at the end of the day, on August 1st, 2018, Sage Swain inspected the two emergency pits at the Las Flores lease and confirmed that they were emptied to the satisfaction of the district. Furthermore, the district conducted an additional inspection of the two emergency pits at the Las Flores lease just recently on January 16th, 2019, and found no violations. So based on GRECO's actions to empty the emergency pits on August 8th, 2018, and the continued compliance since then, the district is requesting that you approve the withdrawal of the petition for abatement order, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Any questions? Among board members?
Frank. Chair. Hi. Where did the oil go? Do we know that?
So they used vacuum trucks to suck the liquids out of the pits, and I am not exactly sure where the oil ended up going.
Hi, I'm Sage Swain. They stored them in some bins off-site, and they also were willing to, I think, try to put them in their beneficial reuse pile, so they're storing them. They're off-site, and then eventually, once they get the go-ahead, I think they're going to put most of the stuff in the beneficial reuse pile there.
And a follow-up, was there something about this pit full of oil that made it unsuitable for normal processing, or why was it? Do we know why it was there in the first place?
I'm not sure exactly why it was there in the first place, but I was told that they didn't use some of the oil in the pit and put it through their normal process, the stuff that they can use. Yes.
And may I continue?
Sure.
And looking at the pictures, I appreciate the pictures, and it begs a question. I can see the bottom of the pit appears to be constructed of like concrete, but the sides look like just earthen. Is that misinterpretation on my part, or that would make it a poor container?
I believe the sides are concrete as well. They're just covered in oil that they couldn't remove. That's been hardened, and it's more like asphalt at this point.
Do we have other pits like this across the county? Is this common?
There are a few, but most of them are not being used at the moment.
Thank you.
The ones that I found have been at HVIK.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions from members of the board? Yes.
What happens when this matter is now referred to the district mutual settlement program? What's the expectation there?
So we have a process to work with the source to settle the violation for monetary penalties, and we have a policy and procedure that we follow to be consistent and fair across the board. And so it's something that is worked through the district and the source until a final amount is agreed upon and the agreement is signed and then payment is received.
And is the amount supposed to reimburse the district for its activities and chasing HVAC?
So we do have a policy and procedure that identifies for specific violations what the amounts are, and they don't always equate to, you know, reimbursing us for our time. It really depends on the situation. And we don't have a final agreement for this yet, so I'm not able to speak to the specifics of the amount for this violation.
Further questions?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Kind of a comment and question. You know, disappointed last time that they weren't here to present their side of the case. And literally, this was something that took years to get to the board. So the question I have is probably more processes on your side of the house. why or how do we make it so issues like this don't take so long to get to the board to make a board decision or ruling?
So that is something that's important to us as well, and we do realize that it took a while for this to get to the board. We do plan on improving that and keeping a better eye on our violations and their status to be able to bring things sooner to the board. We are working with a large backlog of violations right now, so I'm not sure how quickly that will happen. There may be situations where it's a long period of, or you know, a similar period of time that may come to the board in the sooner time frame potentially, but eventually we definitely want to keep more pressure and bring things to the board sooner. So that's something that once we get through our backlog of violations, we will be able to keep on top of better. Does that answer your question? We are tracking them more closely now than we used to be.
No, I think it answers, but I think it also ties in the comment down here as to is the county being reimbursed? You know, if I'm not mistaken, for licenses and permits, okay, the county charges the fee that it costs the county to process those permits. That was a change, I believe, last year that was done, which increased the price for permits, at least on land development and those type of things. If the county specifically identified that this is how much it's going to cost to do these kind of inspections and re-inspections or to hire people to fix your backlog, would that have an impact?
So we are separate from the county since we're a special district of the Air Pollution Control District, and we did not raise our fees to address specifically the time it takes to do things. We do have a fee schedule for our permit application fees, and we do raise that on an annual basis based on the CPI. I guess that's not something we've done, evaluated, but we do, you know, that should be, it should equate over across the board to what our expenditures are for salaries and the revenues that we take in. And for violations, you know, that is something that we do evaluate the effort that was taken, and we do have some, you know, we can evaluate the maximum penalty that we can ask for a violation, and we are limited by the Health and Safety Code maximum, but for the ones where we had to put more effort in, we normally go closer to the maximum or the maximum versus ones where it was a simple fix, we may choose to move forward with a lower percentage of the maximum.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Further questions? No further questions from the hearing board. Do we have any speaker slips?
I have no speaker slips.
Is there any public comment on this issue? I'll close public comment. What's the pleasure of the board?
I move to accept the recommendations of the hearing board. I mean, the hearing, how do we call it?
The district.
Hearing district. For case number 2018-098.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sir, please call the roll.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
Dr. Legatuta?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes. Okay. Let's go on to item H2. Sarah, would you please read this item into the record?
This is case number 2017-02-M1. This is a modification of final compliance date and variance conditions. It's to consider an application submitted on November 28, 2018 by ExxonMobil Production Company for a modification of a final compliance date and variance conditions of regular variance number 2017-02-R. The petitioner is requesting continued relief from the requirements to form mini measurement and or recording procedures of process parameters that do not exist during the extended shutdown as specified in today's agenda. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Hondo, located on offshore lease track OCS-P-0188, approximately 25 miles west of the city of Santa Barbara, California.
Before we move on, I have a question for council. Do we need to handle each one of these cases, H2, H3, and H4, H5, and H6, separately as far as getting an oath and taking testimony, or can we group them together?
You could combine them if you wish. I mean, they are different platforms, so they are different. They're dealing with different situations. But I mean, you could combine them. It may be cumbersome if there's particular questions about one versus the other. But there's not a problem with swearing everybody in and having them testify together. Just if it can work without confusing them.
Then I have a question for staff. Would, in your opinion, would it be problematic for us to combine these and discuss them all at once?
Can I just add real quick? We did receive a request from ARB to handle the oath for each individual case separately, so that if they had any questions on a particular case, they could listen to just that piece of the recording, if that matters.
Okay. Never mind. So, would anybody that is going to submit testimony for item H2 please stand? And after you've given the oath, please come up to the microphone and state your name and your affiliation. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the law of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Patrice Sermeyer, representing ExxonMobil.
Brian Smith, ExxonMobil.
Amy Long, Air District. Caitlin McNally with the Air District.
All right. Then I will ask the petitioner, please state your case.
Good morning. My name is Patrice Sermeyer, and I'm here representing ExxonMobil. We're here today to request extensions to previously approved variances. On May 2015, the Plains All American Pipeline 9901 failed, causing an extended suspension of operations at our facilities. The SYU facility uses Line 901 to transport crude from our facility to refineries. We have temporarily preserved the facility in a state that mitigates risk of corrosion, ensures the integrity of the equipment, and maintains regulatory compliance. ExxonMobil has worked with the APCD since the event and has obtained variances relief for all permit conditions and rule requirements that are either impossible or impractical to comply with during the preservation period. The variances have been consolidated to the extent feasible. However, because the OCS platforms are considered each a unique stationary source, each must have an individual variance. Additionally, the final compliance date for the source testing conditions lags behind the compliance date for other permit conditions and therefore must be handled as a separate variance. The Hondo variance order 2017-02R provides relief from conditions related to the operations that are either impossible or impractical to perform during the current status of the facility. It also addresses the conditions related to the standby status of the flare. We have also requested several conditions to be renumbered to coincide with the numbering changes made in the last permit reevaluation. As provided by California Health and Safety Code 42357, ExxonMobil is requesting an extension to the final compliance date for 2 years. There should be no excess emissions associated with this variance, and we hope you can approve the petition. Do you have any questions?
Do I have any questions for the petitioner?
I've asked this every year. So any movement on the pipeline? Any ideas?
Yes, I have some information on that. ExxonMobil has applied for a trucking permit that will allow us to temporarily transport crude to market. The draft EIR should be available by the end of this month. We're looking forward to the approval of our plans so that we can resume operations and bring back jobs and tax revenues to our community. We understand that Plains All American Pipeline has submitted an application for a complete replacement of Line 901. Plains or the planning department could probably provide you more information on the status of that project.
Further questions from board members? Hearing none, do I have any speaker slips?
I have no speaker slips.
Is there any public comment on this item? I'll close public comment. Board members?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the petition for variance.
Does that include the petition for the extension of the variance?
Yes, it is.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Sarah, please call the roll.
Mr. Saperstein?
Aye.
Dr. Lagatuda?
Aye.
Mr. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Peters?
Aye.
And Chair Dressler?
Aye. All right, would you please, let's move on to item H3. Sarah, please read that into the record.
Item H3 is case number 2017-03-M1. This is to consider an application submitted on November 25th, 2018 by ExxonMobil Production Company for a modification of final compliance date and variance conditions of regular variance number 2017-03-R. The petitioner is requesting continued relief from the requirements to perform many measurement and or record keeping procedures of process parameters that do not exist during the extended shutdown as specified in today's agenda. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Harmony, located on offshore lease track OCS-P-0190, approximately 25 miles west of the city of Santa Barbara, California.
The petitioner, please state your case. So everybody please stand. He's going to testify in this case. And then come up to the microphone and state your name. Do you solemnly swear? Make sure I say this right. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Patrice Sermar, ExxonMobil.
Brian Smith, ExxonMobil.
Caitlin McNally with the Air District. Amy Long, Air District.
Please, Ms. Sermar.
Good morning. My name is Patrice Sermar. ExxonMobil submitted a petition on November 28, 2018, requesting an extension to the final compliance date for Order 2017-03-R. The order provides relief from a number of conditions related to the operation that are either impossible or impractical to perform due to the current status of the facility. It also addresses conditions related to the standby status of the flare. As provided by California Health and Safety Code 42357, ExxonMobil is requesting that the final compliance date be extended for 2 years. There is no excess emissions associated with this variance, and we are hoping you will approve the petition. Do you have any questions?
Any questions by members of the board? Hearing none, do we have any speaker slips?
I have no speaker slips.
Is there any public comment? I'm going to close public comment. The pleasure of the board.
Move approval for the petition associated with case number 2017-03-M1.
Second. I have a motion and second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
Dr. Lagatuda?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Aye.
And Chair Dressler?
Aye. Let's move on to H4.
H4 is case number 2017-04-M1. This is to consider an application submitted on November 28, 2018 by ExxonMobil Production Company for modification of a final compliance date and variance conditions of regular variance number 2017-04-R. The petitioner is requesting continued relief from the requirement to perform source testing on multiple pieces of equipment, of permitted equipment during this extended shutdown, as specified in District Rules 342.G.1 and 206 Conditions 9,
C2, C3, and 9C12A1 of Part 70 permit to operate 9101. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Holly, located on offshore lease track OCS-P-0190, approximately 25 miles west of the city of Santa Barbara, California.
Please, anybody who's going to testify in this matter, please rise and raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Patrice Sermeyer, ExxonMobil.
Brian Smith, ExxonMobil.
Amy Long, Air District. Ethan McNally, Air District.
Ms. Sermeyer, please.
My name is Patrice Sermeyer. This order provides relief from a number of conditions related to source testing of the central process heater, which is not in operation during the preservation period. Source testing is not possible due to the current status of the facility. As provided by California Health and Safety Code 42357, ExxonMobil is requesting that the final compliance date be extended for 2 years. There are no excess emissions associated with this petition. We are hoping you can approve.
Any questions from members of the board?
Yeah, sorry, it was a slow-forming question. So if ExxonMobil gets approval to do the, you call it temporary trucking, is it an extended process to get all of these facilities back operational?
Well, we're currently planning for recommissioning the facility. So we are working in anticipation that the trucking permit will be approved. So once we're at the point where we have approval for it, we will be ready to start tracking.
And will it be all the platforms, though?
Right now, the application is for 70 loads of crude per day. That does not equate to all of the platforms in operation, I don't believe.
And does district staff have an estimate of time, heavy intensive, not so heavy intensive, to go back and look at the permits and get everything in a place where we could support reoperation of the facility?
The variances we have right now are just saying that we don't need to comply with the conditions. So as soon as those pieces of equipment are back in operation, we will need to be in compliance.
Right. And I thought that we had at least a bit of this discussion. I thought that there may be some yet other interim type relief that would be required to get the facility back operation. I can't remember.
So this is Caitlin McNally from the Air District. So first, we have an authority to construct from Exxon for the loading racks that associated with the trucking that they are proposing to do, and that's been deemed complete. And we're just waiting to see if the Planning Commission approves the project before we issue the draft authority to construct for that. So that's the permitting that would need to be done, and it's not that complicated to authorize that operation. As for the other requirements, getting the facility back up and running, we did build into the variance timeframes, depending on the type of operation that they need to comply with for after they start processing oil, within a certain number of days, they need to comply with the conditions. And so based on those requirements within the variances, Exxon would just start complying with the permits again, either whole or in parts. We may need modifications of the variances if there are some pieces of equipment that are not going to be used during the temporary trucking project, but that's still to be seen and worked out. So things are kind of in flux, and we expect the variances to either go away in whole or in part once they start, within a certain number of days of starting operations.
Further questions?
And is the hope that the trucking would stay in place until the pipeline's back in?
Yes.
So temporary could be an extended period.
I believe, weren't you given a maximum of 7, or there's a maximum of 7 years built in?
I actually don't know the answer to that question.
My understanding is that either the application or the planning, the lead agency approval is 7 years or, and this is currently proposed, not finalized, but 7 years or when the pipeline's back in operation, whichever occurs first. But again, it could change.
Thanks.
Further questions from members of the hearing board?
Mr. Chair, just a clarification for our clerk. I heard when you were reading it, platform Holly, not Harmony. I'm paying attention.
It is Harmony.
Yes, it is Harmony.
Harmony, correct.
Further questions? Do you have any public speaker slips?
I have no speaker
slips. Is there any public comment? I'll close public comment. I'll bring this back to the board. Do I have a motion?
I'll move the item petition for variance 2017-04-1.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Sarah, please call the roll.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
Dr. Agatuda?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Aye.
And Chair Dressler?
Aye. Sarah, please read item 5.
H5, this is case number 2017-05-M1. This is to consider an application submitted on November 28th, 2018 by ExxonMobil Production Company for modification of a final compliance date and variance conditions of regular variance number 2017-05-R. The petitioner is requesting continued relief from the requirements to perform many measurement and or record-keeping procedures of the process parameters that do not exist during the extended shutdown as specified in today's agenda. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Heritage, located on offshore lease track OCS-P-0182, approximately 25 miles west of the city of Santa Barbara, California.
Would anyone that's going to testify please raise your hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Patrice
Sermar,
ExxonMobil.
Brian Smith, ExxonMobil.
Caitlin McNally, Air District.
Amy Long, Air District.
Ms. Sermar, please.
Hello, my name is Patrice Sermar. This order for Platform Heritage provides relief from a number of conditions related to the operations that are either impossible or impractical to perform due to the current status of the facility. It also addresses conditions related to the standby status of the flare. As provided by California Health and Safety Code 42357, ExxonMobil is requesting that the final compliance date be extended for 2 years. There's no excess emissions associated with this variance, and we are hoping you can approve the petition.
Questions from the hearing board? No speaker slips?
No speaker slips.
Any public comment? I will close public comment. I'll bring this back to the board.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second. Please call the roll.
Mr. Saperstein?
Aye.
Dr. Agatuda?
Aye.
Mr. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Peters?
Aye.
And Chair Dressler?
Aye. Sarah, please read item H6.
Item H6 is case number 2017-06-M1. This is to consider an application submitted on November 28, 2018 by ExxonMobil Production Company for modification of final compliance date and variance conditions of regular variance number 2017-06-R. The petitioner is requesting continued relief from the requirement to perform source testing on multiple pieces of permanent equipment during this extended shutdown, as specified in District Rules 342.G.1 and 206 Conditions 9C2C2, 9C12B, 9C12C, 9C12D, and 9C12E of Part 70 Permit to Operate 9102. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Heritage, located on offshore lease track OCS-P-0182, approximately 25 miles west of the city of Santa Barbara, California.
Would everybody who's going to testify please rise and raise your hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Davis.
Patrice Sermar, ExxonMobil.
Brian Smith, ExxonMobil.
Amy Long, Air District.
Caitlin McNally, Air District.
Mr. Mott.
I apologize, I got lost on which one we're on.
H6.
The last one, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure about the last one. I should have wanted to put it on the page. Okay. My name is Patrice Surmeyer. This order provides relief from a number of conditions related to the source testing of a central process heater on Platform Heritage, which is not currently in operation due to the preservation status of the facility. It is not possible to source test the unit while in our current status. As provided by California Health and Safety Code 42357, ExxonMobil is requesting that the final compliance date for this variance be extended for 2 years. There are no excess emissions associated with this variance, and we are hoping you will approve this petition.
Questions from member of the board?
Mr. Chair, just curious why we have two petitions on Platform Heritage, on one on the others.
Well, actually, on Heritage, there's two. Harmony, there's two. And Honda, there's one. Because Heritage and Harmony have a process heater. And so those need to be source tested. And you can't, like all of our other conditions, the minute we start up, we'll need to be in compliance with our permit. In the case of source testing, you can't source test until you sort of reach a steady state and you can organize a company to come on site and do that work. So we have that as well as the ones onshore that we have to do. So it'll be quite a big source testing effort that will take some time. So the final compliance date lags behind the other ones.
Further questions from members of the hearing board? Yes.
Ryan, what do you do?
Do we have any speaker slips?
I have no speaker slips.
Is there any public comment? Hearing none, I will close public comment and bring this back to the board. Do I have a motion?
I move to set case 201706MI.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
Dr. Ligatuda?
Aye.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Aye.
And Chair Dressler?
Aye. You have your 2 years.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the administrative agenda. The next item on the administrative agenda can all be approved with one vote. Does any member of the board wish to pull any of these items? Do we have any public comment on the administrative agenda? I'll close public comment. Can I have a motion on the administrative agenda?
Move approval of the administrative agenda.
Second.
I have a motion and a second on the administrative agenda. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is there any other business before the hearing board? If not, we are adjourned.
What are we looking at? Anything for next month?
To date, we have not received any petitions. But we never know if they're going to come in at last minute.
But none of these platforms coming up again, or?
I believe the next one, June or July. Yeah, there will be a couple more later in the year.
Now we stand adjourned.
I got a quick, it's a process question.